Anything combat with Johnny K.
But it's anything combat, though.
Welcome back, combatants, to the Anything Combat Show, wherein we discuss everything mixed martial arts. I'm your host, Johnny K. And today we're joined by one championship Muay Thai fighter. In my opinion, if I would have to say his style, I would say it's a creative style. We're joined by the chef. He's coming off, you know, the fight of the year, I would say, with Joe Nadawa, also coming off an amazing win, who's been a friend of the show, Eddie Abasolo. So a completely respectable win. Please welcome to the show, finally, Luke Lessie. How you doing, Luke?
Awesome. Yeah, thanks for having me, bro. I mean, yeah, like we were just talking about before, off tape, like, yeah, I'm glad we finally got this done. Me and you've been talking for a minute. You've been showing support and you've been showing love. So I'm glad that we could finally make it work for our time ranges and my weird, busy life ever since I got signed to One, which you were just talking about, which everything's been a blessing, dude. Life has been fucking awesome since I got signed.
All good, bro. Let's start off by talking about Eddie. Eddie comes on the show, very nice human. He's also, the way he looks at the sport is very in-depth. He looks at patterns, he looks at rhythms, and I feel like the thing that was really interesting about your fight is even though you're longer than all your opponents, it doesn't really matter in the grand scheme of things. If you're long and you don't know how to fight, it won't work. What's important is that I feel like you really interrupted his rhythm and what he was trying to do during the fight. And I feel because you were interrupting that rhythm, of course you won the fight. And I think that's the main key takeaway for me. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I think everybody has a few different takeaways. Interrupting the rhythm is interesting. I have my own experience with this fight because I'll just be transparent. I had a bad weight cut. It was short notice for me. I wasn't training as soon as I got the call. So let me take you through it. I finished the fight with Joe Nadawa, which those of anyone that's watched it, like, that was a fucking war. Like, I'm not gonna sit here and say my body wasn't banged up after that fight. He actually broke my nose, so I was technically suspended for 60 days with the broken nose, and then my 60 day suspension was up and I was like, oh, maybe I'll hit one championship up after my suspension is over and we'll start scheduling a fight and see what happens. But they're like, no, we have a fight ready for you as soon as your suspension's over, the week of, like, and it's fine, it's just a broken nose. Like, my suspension was 2 months or whatever, which was fine. It was a super minor little break, which my nose has been broken before. But anyways, I had 4 weeks of training. I'm not sure how long Eddie was training, but he looked like he was in fucking crazy good shape.
He looked dice, dude.
Like, he looks in crazy good shape. And I'm embarrassed about how I looked, but that's just whatever. And, yeah, it was 4 weeks of training and flew out to Thailand. And I'm not even too proud of my performance, bro. I mean, you're saying that I disrupted his rhythm and this and that, which I guess is just natural for me. By me disrupting his rhythm wasn't necessarily me disrupting his rhythm. It was just me sticking to my own rhythm. You understand what I'm saying? And I would just, I will just, even if I'm losing, I will just make sure. And this is almost to a fault. I will do what I want to do, what I think is cool. I'll go for what I want to go for. And I think that's what when the authenticity, the passion, the real raw, the shit comes out, where people enjoy watching that, because even till the very end, I'm just throwing shit that comes out of my heart. Does that make sense? As corny as that sounds?
It's a vibe thing. A lot of fighters describe it as they're not really going in there to do something. It's like whenever they have the feeling, then they bite on it.
Right. So when you're saying I'm disrupting his rhythm, it's like I'm only focused on my rhythm. So it's hard to kind of even think about that, because I guess if you're so focused on your rhythm, that in itself will disrupt your opponent's rhythm. It's almost a challenge of who can stick to their guns more. First round, second round, third round. And then you get to those late rounds, which it comes into the Joe fight and the Eddie fight as well. Like, you really start to see me find my rhythm, find my, you know, my pace that only myself can match in those later rounds. That's why when I get to these championship rounds and I'm doing five round fights, like round four and five, and it's almost unfortunate, but that's what I grew up on. I've always been a five round fighter. And if you would have saw me go even more rounds with these guys, I think the results would have been a little bit different, but that's also me dreaming a little bit.
I don't think you're dreaming. That was my takeaway from the Nadawa fight, that at the end of the match, the momentum had swung, and I felt like, you know, you were getting there in the end. So I feel like round four and five was completely necessary for you to win the fight. Even a finish could have been, you know, a thing that could have happened. Would you ask Chatri for a rematch with Nadawa for five rounds?
Yeah, I've said in a few interviews about, you know, what I would want in the future. And the first thing I would want is whatever the fans would want me to see, because I just want to please the people. I want to inspire people. That's the whole point of, you know, the why I do Muay Thai, to inspire the working man, the regular guy, to come up from some random ass town. But yeah, I've said it in a few interviews that I would obviously like a rematch, because it was such a close fight. And then also, just looking at the specifics of Joe Nadawat's last few fights, like his last fight against Tawan Chai, his next fight is against Tawan Chai, who's the champion, and then his last fight being such a close fight, and then me and him being such a close fight, it just makes people think a little bit. So I definitely feel like even after like a few more wins, I'm right in there with the champions and fighting for that belt within, you know, the next, even maybe towards the end of the year or 2025, I think I'll be fighting for the belt. But that's if I perform the way I want to perform.
That's exactly what I told Mitch Chilson. I said that if Tawan Chai is fighting Joe like that, and then an American representative like yourself, Lessie, he's fighting Joe how he did, I thought that it was very telling that you could go pretty far in the top ranks of the division.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that, because I also like to think, and this is my own confidence, and I don't want people to take it as cockiness, but if there was another round, I think I would have put Joe out of there. And if it was in the streets, I think I would have knocked Joe Nadawat out, even a five-round fight. And I remember watching Joe Nadawat against Tawan Chai, and of course it was kickboxing, so it was a little bit different pace, but I literally, and this isn't just saying it, I remember me and my boys thinking Joe won, split decision, you know, or it could have went either way, but I think I did more damage to Joe's face than Tawan Chai did, you know, and yeah, of course I'm confident. What am I going to do? Sit here and think that Joe beat me when it was that close of a fight? I think I did just enough. If I was in America and if I wasn't like super pale and bloody, I think maybe the judges would have thought a little bit more of me. But yeah, I would love to fight. I would love to fight him again. And also, I've been watching him since I was, you know, in high school and stuff. And I've always thought he was just like a legend, like an American guy from Thailand, or a Thai guy from America, however you want to say it. But yeah, just putting on for himself, not really representing anyone but himself, and I've always admired that. So it was crazy that I fought in my first fight, dude. How crazy is that? My first fight in, and I get to fight Joe Nadawat. I would have been stupid to not take that. What an honor, dude. Like, straight up.
Luke, let me ask you about the length. So I'm 6'2", and I find it a little bit difficult to use my length. So how do you use your length in the fight, because you've done it so effectively?
Yeah, my main thing is because when you're so long, I think the main goal a lot of people think is the generic, you should fight long. But I think because you're so long, you're able to go from range to range way quicker without using any footwork, without using any movement. Some tall people like myself can keep their feet where they're at. They can go in and they can go out without moving their feet. Now, the matter is, when you go in as a tall fighter, do you have hands? Can you box? Can you move your head? Do you have a good clinch? And then when you come out, obviously it's easier for the taller fighter. But I think to be super successful is not just fighting on the outside, because even trying that in my career, like, dude, motherfuckers are gonna get in on you. They just go crazy. They're just gonna spam and they're gonna get in on you and swing punches and hit you and grab you and get close. You're not just gonna have a fight where you're gonna jab and teep someone. I mean, there's outliers where you probably will have a super tall guy, a super short guy, and the short guy won't get in ever. But with me, I've had short guys get in. So growing up, I've learned how to fight inside as a tall guy. And the advantage is being able to fight inside, but then being able to pop out instantly without using any footwork, without using any body movement, just because my physical body happens to be longer and taller. Does that make sense to you what I'm saying? When you're tall, you should be able to go from range to range effortlessly. You understand?
The thing that I don't completely understand is in the infighting, in the short range, when you're there and you're sticking to your defense, I feel like sometimes my hands are too slow, even though I could be going quick for the average person. I feel like when I'm sparring someone that knows what they're doing and they're shorter and they've got, the T-Rex arms and they're ready to throw hooks, I feel like it's a losing battle to do infighting with the long arms if they've got short arms and throwing stones.
Why wouldn't you clinch?
Yeah, I do clinch, but still, like in that position when the clinch is disengaged, I find myself trying to throw hooks with them.
Sure, even when you're taller, you should be able to find ways to land in ranges that other people can't land. Especially, how tall did you say you were? 6'2"?
How tall are you? I'm 6'2".
I'm 6'3".
Okay.
6'2", 6'3", yeah. But yeah, my whole practice in sparring is like trying to hit people in close and then out far away, and then setting things up from out far away to get in close. Because the whole point is, you're not just ending up close, bro. You're in close on your terms. You understand? So, like, you're doing those shoulder rolls, uppercuts, and then back out as a tall fighter and going long style. Or you're pulling the hand out and then throwing a cross and then throwing a combination. Or you're here, you're doing a long guard into some elbows. I mean, there's a whole bunch of different things you can do, but it's not as basic as just the first thing I said, going from range to range. There's also, things in between that you have to have on point to make sure you do that without getting caught, like you're saying.
Have you trained with Eddie?
Yeah, I've only like no, I haven't trained with him, but I've been to like probably four or five different shows with him where he's fought. We've been warming up in the same area, and we fought on the same shows a handful of times. But yeah, the thing is with Eddie is he knows this as well. He's inspired me a lot, my professional career, even my late amateur career. Just his philosophy on fighting, being open to every movement, and then every movement coming back to Muay Thai. I don't know if that makes sense to you, but like he's definitely been a huge inspiration on the way I think about Muay Thai, because there's times where you get held back thinking you need to do certain things, and then you hear people like him, and then it's like, yeah, whatever works for you, just try to make it work, that type of shit.
How important is the creativity factor? I think that you're a very creative fighter. So how do you look at the sport in a creative lens?
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely number one for me. I always thought as a kid I wanted to be different. I wanted literally the way I would throw one punch, the way I would twist my fist, I would just want it to be a little bit different than the next person. Even just coming down to wearing different colors, wearing different brands, and moving a little bit different. My goal was always to, when there was like a silhouette of me, someone would be able to know that it's me fighting. Or when they were selecting a character in a video game and it's just, the shadow image it would be able to know that it's me. And I just got obsessed with, it almost sounds shitty, but looking in the mirror, making sure, like, the big mirror in our gym when we're shadow boxing, making sure my style was on point, and just getting obsessed with how each and every move would go. And I would get obsessed with that over the power of the shots. And don't get me wrong, I train power and I know I can hit hard as fuck. But even just with a kick, trying to get the perfect, like, poster shot of when I land that kick, my one hand's out, my other hand's up, just little things like that, and just getting obsessed with that. And I think that's really all it was whatever God decided to put in me, I decided to get obsessed with the aesthetic of my techniques instead of the power and the aggression, you know?
Does it freak you out that you've had such a rise in the sport and that your social media has blown up?
No, it doesn't freak me out because I know I'm pretty good at running social media, running my page, and I know all I've always done is posted what I thought was cool, so I'll just keep doing that, and it keeps going up, which is cool, but shit like that, I don't gotta worry about, bro. Like, I got a wife and kids, so I don't gotta worry about social media going crazy and trying to get famous and all that, because all the money I get is going to the family, and it's really no worry about, like, social media making me, I don't even know what you're, like, social media is not going to make me any different. Yeah, I've got a lot of followers, which it makes me feel good. But at the end of the day, I think in my heart and soul, when I lay down on my pillow at night, I just want to be the champion. I want to be the best fighter. And, yeah, I mean, it's pretty much as simple as that. It's been cool. I mean, I'm not going to complain about anything. Everything's been cool. It's not like I'm making a crazy amount of money just because the social media followers have gone up. The followers have just gone up because I make sure I'm putting out good content, and that's because I want to actually spread real knowledge to the random ass people of the world of Instagram. So that's just regular. That's just who I am. I just want to post shit that people will actually learn from. So if that makes sense, it's not like I'm doing it for anything.
Luke, why do you feel like flow is so important in Muay Thai?
Well, the flow comes from probably my background with my dad, which is like every martial art. He started in Jeet Kune Do, fighting in Eskrima, karate tournaments, jiu-jitsu tournaments, kickboxing and boxing and Muay Thai, and then Jeet Kune Do. And his teacher, Guru Dan Rosano, who is a student under Bruce Lee. So that's my lineage. And I think it's just like, it's hard not to have that, how do I explain it? That be water energy. You know what I mean? It's hard not to have that when you're training so many different martial arts as a young kid. You're doing Filipino stick fighting. You're doing Jeet Kune Do, hand play, hand trapping. Then you're doing straight up Muay Thai, clinching and kneeing. And then you're doing kickboxing combinations on the pads. So it was just effortless. That's just what my dad created. Just working all different types, trying to be efficient in every style, which is, you know, efficient in my hands, punching, everything that's legal with your hands in a Muay Thai fight, everything that's legal with your legs in a Muay Thai fight, everything that's legal with your knees in a Muay Thai fight. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. The thing that kind of caught my attention was the hand fighting. I want to ask you, do you feel like the fact that you had the hand trapping experience really ported over to the elbow game in the in Muay Thai?
Yeah, that's a good point, bro. I would probably say just naturally, like, and I'm actually thankful that I trained a lot of that natural complete martial art with the self-defense style of boxing, using the traps and using the hand play. And it's not like I thought about it, just naturally it came with traps and the elbow. And I'm like, yeah, I think doing that as a kid definitely made a difference, because especially when you do shit as a kid, not only when you do it as a young kid, and then when you're doing a lot of reps, repetition is the mother of all teachers, it definitely becomes second nature. And then It's almost ridiculous how when you practice something in the gym, it just comes out in the fight if you actually practice it enough. And we were definitely practicing a lot of elbows and shit like that, especially with Joe, because we knew Joe was going to come in hard and come in like with heavy hands. And yeah, I guess that fight spoke for itself. But yeah, I'm thankful that my dad taught me that. With the long guard especially, because me and my dad are both super tall. My dad's 6'4". I'm 6'2", 6'3". So a lot of long guard practice and a lot of long guard into clinch, long guard into trapping with the elbows. And I think it's just something that is his own style that spread into me.
Was that the most fun you've ever had in a fight with Joe, or would you say a different fight was more fun?
No, I would say Joe for sure. Like, that shit was crazy, bro. Like, I remember the moment he broke my nose. I remember getting out of the first round, and I was like, because that was also my first time fighting with small gloves. So I remember getting out in the first round. I was like, holy shit. Like, I could get knocked out just because the small gloves and the pace and the power was crazy. So, second round, I did my best to get through it. And then I caught him at the end of the second round with a huge elbow and a big teep. And I was like, oh shit, I might be able to do this. Like, against Joe Nottoway. But it was hard. Like, I'm not gonna lie, the whole thing was hard. I was just pushing myself the whole time. But the whole, like you just said, was it the most fun? I remember sitting in the back and instead of like focusing on a super badass warm up, I was sitting there just trying to embrace the experience. And I remember it was the first time where I had a fight where I was sitting there like, wow, this is cool. I might lose, but this is fucking awesome just to be here. Every other fight I've had in, high level amateurs, early level pros, I was like, I'm gonna beat this dude's ass. But this time was a little bit different, and I was just trying to embrace the experience. I don't know, probably that was probably a good thing. Maybe it was a bad thing because I could have won if I focused on beating his ass. But instead, I sat there and I was just trying to be thankful that I was there. And then the fight went how it went and it inspired people. And I don't know. Sometimes I think like that's what the universe wanted. And yeah, I mean, I don't regret anything. I gave it my all and I think it was a pretty crazy fucking performance.
What'd you think about the crowd during the fight? I thought they
The
were
crowd
going
was the craziest
ballistic.
thing. Because I remember walking out. And my song was real chill. Nobody was really cheering for me. Like, of course, I didn't expect anything crazy. Like, nobody knew who I was. And then Joe Nottoway, they all knew who he was. So they cheered loud. While I was waiting in the back, about to walk out, they were giving his intro about like snowboarding and whatever he's into. And I was like, this is crazy. I'm standing here about to walk out and he's talking. And then as the fight ended, I remember even watching the third round back on camera. Everyone was cheering. Whenever I would throw an elbow, whenever I would throw something crazy, the crowd was cheering. And then as I was walking out, the referee that ref the fight, Oliver Costa, and then a couple other just like random Thai staffs, actually not even a couple, a lot, were just saying like how inspiring that was and how awesome of a fight that was. And then going back to the hotel room, sitting there by myself. I mean, my team was sitting there. We were all showering up, but sitting there by myself, just looking at all the messages. And like, bro, it sounds crazy, but people are telling me I inspired like the Thai fans. You won the heart of the Thai fans. And like, come on, when you start Muay Thai, like, that's pretty much one of the best compliments you can get. When you start Muay Thai and you're not born and raised in Thailand, like. I'm accepted into the gang, bro. So life is great. And now I'm just going to try to be the champion. I feel like people like me right now. So I'm just going to keep trying to be genuine, keep trying to put on great performances. And hopefully the Thai fans still like me because I'm going to show respect to every single opponent. Just like I was raised traditional Muay Thai style, bro.
How funny is that, that in other sports it's like, go away, you're not part of our culture, you're not part of our country. And then the
Right.
second someone trains Muay Thai and then they go to Thailand and put a performance on like you feel like you're accepted, you're an accepted foreigner, like Roman Decker, right? You're an accepted foreigner. And that means that you've got the respect of the people, and that means that you're literally a celebrity in Thailand.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly, bro, I don't even know what to think about that. Like, even Chatry hit me up and he was like, "Yeah, man, you won the heart of the Thai fans." And he gave me some advice about what I could do better and this and that and how I could perform better. But he, at the end of the day, he was like, "Dude, you inspired the heart of the, you inspired the Thais. You won the heart of the Thais." And I'm like, "Dude,
Luke,
what do you mean?"
do you know what I think that means? I feel like it means that no matter what you do in your career now, I feel like you've already won.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. I just gotta make sure I just gotta make sure I stay grounded. I got a good wife, a good family, and I just gotta make sure I train hard and keep. I literally am just gonna try to keep doing the same shit I've been doing, bro. Everything's been going pretty smooth. I just gotta make sure I keep working hard. I can't fall off the wagon. 'Cause it's been a long time until I got noticed. I'm 27 years old, you know what I mean? Like, I've been doing this since I was four. It's not the beginning. And then all of a sudden, boom, I get my shot. So it's like I'm fighting these guys. I've been fighting longer than Joe. I've been fighting longer than Eddie. So I gotta make sure I'm beating the fuck out of these guys. So that's the energy right now.
Everyone that's come on the show, Onjen Topic, Mitch Chilson, Regian Ersel, I've asked them about Tawan Chai every single time because I want to see different people's opinions on it. From what I've seen in his game, his Muay Thai game, there isn't any holes. You know what I mean? Because here's the thing, whilst we're not watching his next fight, you know what I mean? He's consistently improving it, you know,
No,
silently.
he hasn't like right. I know I could agree with you. He's fucking awesome. I mean, Jesus Christ. He hits
Like,
so hard.
I always ask the question, this is the one that kind of is the best way to prove what I'm saying. I always ask the fighters, and I'll ask you now, what do you think he can't do in Muay Thai?
There's a certain thing, there's a certain pace that you can't teach. People like Sean O'Malley, people like Danny Bill, Golden Era Muay Thai. There's a certain style, a certain energy, a certain pace that you can't really teach. And I think I have one of those paces. I have one of those styles where it's not just Muay Thai. I mean, yeah, it is. And whenever I fight a strictly Muay Thai fighter, like when I fought Joe, it wasn't even a Muay Thai fight. He just tried to box my face off. But Tawan Chai, he likes to relax. He likes a relaxed fight, a Muay Thai style fight. And that's where also where I thrive, where someone else could thrive. But like we talked about before, it's about you have to be so confident in running your pace. And that's what Tawan Chai specializes in. Like it doesn't matter what you throw at him, he's gonna keep his energy, he's gonna keep his calmness, he's gonna wipe his nose like this. And he's gonna be right there running his style. But I also think I have that energy even when I'm losing in the round. I feel like I have that same type of energy. And then the extra thing, the extra sauce, is like the length and the hands and the unpredictability of my hands. And like, it sounds shitty because I'm just trying to talk myself up. But one hasn't even seen it yet because my last two fights have had to be kind of dog fights. But all my amateur fights, of course, the people weren't as high level. But like, once I show my hands and the combinations and the fakes and the feints, it's just a level above, you know, the regular person. I don't know. That's just me. That's just me thinking right now, hyping myself up right now. But I think there's a way to be a super strict Thai style with good, clean boxing and angles and picking your shots. And yeah, even my dad has always told me, like, even good hand play and good dirty boxing could potentially beat the clinch. Just energy like that. It's like, what am I like? I'm a dude from America. I have to find any way I can to beat the Thais. And all the top three or four in my bracket are Thais. Tawan Chai, Super Bond, Nadawat. You know what I mean? And I'm sitting here from Midwest America. I gotta be able to throw hands. I gotta be able to put my hands on these fucking dudes.
I feel like you're a little bit too humble sometimes. You know what I mean? Because a lot of fighters come on and they say, "Oh, I don't know, I'm not too sure." But truly, I feel like, bro, if you've been doing this, you do know, and that you're just being a little bit humble, especially when you're talking about the feint game and also the correlation to your game to the as a foreigner to the local Thai people. Because I completely understand how when the Thais fight a certain way, it's always when a Thai fights a Thai, the best Thai kind of comes on top, you know? But if it's a foreigner, it's kind of how you attack their style a little bit differently. And just firstly, because I've got two questions here, the first one is, do you feel like your style is good to beat a Thai style, like for example, if you were to fight to one Chai?
Yeah, I think if you, because of my length, because of my experience, and because of the arsenal of feints that I have and combinations that I have, I've always worked an entire arsenal, complete martial arts, like we've explained. If you give me time, and when I say give me time, I mean like a Thai style fight. Some people will understand what I mean. You have more time to think about things, to set things up. And if you give me that, that's where I've always thrived. And yeah, my first loss was against Joe Nottoway, which was a straight up brawl and straight up boxing match, elbow match, elbow war, boxing war. So if you give me time to think, we have yet to see what's going to happen with that because I have the length, I have the experience. I'm not going to crumble in there against a high level guy. So if you give me time to set something up, who knows what's going to get set up? Okay, so talking about me being too humble, it's like, yeah, of course I think I have the best moves and the best fakes and the best feints in the game. And one of the top fight IQs, but sitting here saying that doesn't make me feel good because like I was just telling you, I haven't done anything special, anything extra. I've just literally went to the gym every day, like regular, like there's amateurs and regular ass people that go to my gym every single day. Some people go more than fighters, you know what I mean? So I don't think the energy of I'm different or I'm separate is necessarily the energy to have. And I've always worked out with the amateur team. I've always worked out with the regular ass people, and all of a sudden, other people are telling me that I'm separated, that I'm better. And I think that's the goal. Not to speak it into existence myself, to have other people tell me, like, no, you do more work. You do have a better game than the other people. Not to sit here preaching to myself and to see who agrees with me. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. I do want to ask you with that. If you're working with people that are, let's say, less skilled than you, do you feel like that gives you a great opportunity to expand your creativity in the sport? Because a lot of people say training with worse people is detrimental.
Right, I would disagree with that because you can even see it with my style, with the creativity. Like, even with the seminar shit that I post, the random clips that I post, like, all the different options that I have for certain counters and certain moves, and just the arsenal of moves that I show and that I have. Not even looking on my last 2-1 fights because it's been a lot longer than that. But, what was the question, bro?
It's about working with people that are lesser
Right,
skilled
working
than
new
you. Does that
people.
give you a good
So it's
avenue?
like, so especially with the style, it comes from being so comfortable with people like that. Like, I'm not worried about some crazy shit, about getting clocked if I try some fucking brand new shit. And then you think about me, like, I think I am one of those guys that does try to create new ways, new avenues, new connections between Muay Thai techniques. And that comes from sparring with the new people because I'm just from a little town. So sparring with a lot of new people and I can have fun and I can play. And then, yeah, you got people like Jordan Peterson who they preach the best form of learning is through play. And your children got to have that type of shit, the play, the riskiness, and the trial and error. And that's essential to, actually learning and adding instead of when you're sparring, always being in survival mode. That's not what you want.
You know what's so funny is that I've been watching your career for such an I would say a lengthy time now that I first texted you before you got signed to One, I believe. I was watching your videos and I was like, dude, I need to get this guy on. And then when I saw One Champ post you, I go, this can't be the same bloke. So it's actually been a minute.
That's awesome, dude. No, I like I was saying at the very beginning, I appreciate you. No, I know I should have been better, but life got super busy. My wife's been handling everything. I've just been trying to train hard. And now that I, because once I got signed, I was like, I can't work a 9 to 5 and fight in one championship. So I quit. And now I've been, that's why I have to run so many seminars all the time. Because I was in the
How
FedEx
much?
truck. I have, for my first one fight, bro, I was training and working in the FedEx truck.
Yeah, I heard.
Yeah. So then I quit. And then I'm running a couple seminars every month. And it just so fucking seems like every time you hit me up, I'm coming back, I'm leaving, or my kids are sick or some bullshit. Because I got 2 kids, 3 years old.
How much study do you do in Muay Thai?
I don't do any study besides on myself. Like my only, because I've been training since I was a child, and I've came up on learning proper technique and proper form. With all the martial arts my dad's done and the people he's made me watch, especially my dad's favorite fighter is Ramon Deckers. And then one guy I grew up on is Diesel Noy, for tall fighters in Muay Thai, and then Samart. So I came up watching, and then Samrock Kamsing, just watching people that had really clean technique. And then naturally, luckily, like I said, whatever God placed into me was an obsession with technique. So I really never had to worry about that as a kid. When I was a kid doing karate classes, I thought I was trying to pretend I was in a video game. I was that video game character. So I was always obsessed with making my shit look perfect. And yeah, I think that's just what happened. As a kid, I always kept that energy, and I try to keep that energy to this day, that little spark that you had when you're a kid.
How did you get fights when you weren't in Thailand? Like the scene in the US, I was talking to Kevin Ross about the scene and how it's kind of only coming out of the period that it was in back in the day. It's only coming out of that now. So, what has your experience been like fighting in the Muay Thai scene in the US?
So the main thing I did probably, so my first Muay, I started training when I was 4. My first Muay Thai fight, I was 8. And then from 8 until, like, what was it, probably 20, 24 when I turned pro, 23, 24 when I turned pro, I was fighting in amateurs, which was like big tournaments around the US. And it just so happens one of the biggest amateur tournaments is in my state, Iowa, which is a few hours away. So I was just like, for lack of better term, running the amateur scene in my division, just winning all the tournaments in my division, winning all the, little shows, the little fight nights in my weight division. And then, yeah, I racked, I was like 54 and something. And then I went pro in 2020, right in the middle of COVID, but the experience was cool. When I was really young, it was probably like one, two, three fights a year at a tournament. But as I got older into high school, it was probably like, five, six fights a year with the local tournaments and the random ass shows. But yeah, it's like, it's nothing special, just like anywhere, random ass fight nights. You know what I mean?
Did you fight somebody in the US scene that you think will probably make it to one champ?
I mean, yeah, there's, I don't know, honestly, there's a few guys that are top level, they're ranked in the WBC, that I fought, but a couple of them I fought when I was way younger, even before high school. But yeah, there's a couple guys from like a dude from Minnesota, Ian Greer, a couple guys from the South, and then from the East Coast that are ranked in the WBC. But also, it depends. Like, if nobody knows who you are, if you're not promoting yourself, you might never get that shot. So, but yeah, there's a lot of good fighters out here that nobody fucking knows. You know what I mean?
End of this story, but I'm gonna ask you now, who gave you the nickname Luke the Chef?
Man, yeah, I almost get sick of saying this story, but it's cool. Just because I don't think it's that awesome, but maybe the people will think different. I was just at like a tournament, like we were just talking about, a local, not even local, it was a national tournament in America, in the Midwest. And it's so random, bro. I was teeping people in the face during this tournament. I had like five or six fights in this tournament. And it was like a couple face teeps each fight. And then my boy, each fight was like, dude, you're serving that up. Random. Like I said, just a random thing. You're serving that up, chef. My boy, his name's Jack. You've been serving that up, chef. And then he kept saying that. And then, yeah, people started calling me chef. And it was kind of like a natural little thing like that. And then it kind of just went with my style, cooking up different combinations, mixing it up a lot. Yeah, and just cooking with a lot of different flavors and shit like that. So chef kind of makes sense.
How do we do pattern recognition to exploit people's Muay Thai games?
I don't know. I think there's generic patterns that you should make sure you have on lock, which is just the left rights. And then I think it's just like how much you focus on, your actual eyes in practice, which is such a hard thing to do because you have to get past the wall of getting hit in the face. Because recognizing patterns, you have to be able to look at their punches and look at their techniques and watch them come, which takes a weird level of confidence when you're in sparring. And like, there's a handful of people that have talked about focusing on having strong eyes and looking at the chest. And yeah, and I think that's a hard thing, and it just takes time. Like little by little, you focus on, trying to sense and see what's coming. It's almost an unexplainable thing that you try to teach, recognizing patterns. But that being said, it's also human nature to recognize patterns. That's the way a baby learns, is to recognize patterns. If they reach for this, then their hand will grab it, then they can get it closer. If they push this thing, it'll tip over. Little patterns like that. If they move their leg up, recognizing patterns is the way we learn as humans. So it's also in your nature to try to figure that out in whatever sport you're doing, bro. You know what I mean? But yeah, I don't know. It's hard to answer your question because it's hard to teach something like that. Like, hey, this is how you recognize this pattern, because there's generic patterns like jab, cross, hook, and you should know how to counter shit like that. Jab, cross, pull, cross, random shit, generic. After you punch, bring your hand back to your face. And there's generic rhythms and paces that happen naturally. But then once you get past that, it almost becomes like it's your own duty to figure out how your body can react to these things.
You made reference to your dad's influence on you with the hand fighting, but I do want to ask you, how important do you think your dad's style has been into, forming your own?
I don't think it's necessarily been extremely, well, of course it's been important. It hasn't formed my style specifically, but it's the entire foundation, right? Ever since I was a kid, my dad ingrained these techniques, ingrained these reactions, these counters, these specific tactics, these regular generic patterns, like we were just saying. So I don't have to worry about any of the basics. That's ingrained into me as a child. And then having all of that on lock gives me the opportunity to explore, to break the rules as an adult, to when me and him are just flowing, because he's a complete martial artist coming from Jeet Kune Do, but we have these fundamentals on lock. We can explore different avenues, do different flows, find different techniques, different angles, random punches, random combinations. And just think a little more and create a little more. And I think it's just been together, both of us working together as I've gotten older, we've both been like really working together on creating like different ways to just win these fights, to just hit people in different ways, to try to be better than everybody else besides just hard punches and a low kick, you know, because we've always practiced way too much, just like you said, from his background. It's just way too much. We have to remember to bring that back in, you know. And
Do you
my
feel
dad's
like
obsessed with Golden Era Muay Thai, so he's so obsessed with Golden Era Muay Thai, with Diesel Noy style fighters, strict Thai style fighters. We just got to remember, like, my dad's also trained in Filipino Kali, Jeet Kune Do, jiu-jitsu, grappling, a handful of different things. So we have to remember that we're complete martial artists, and anything that's legal, we can fucking practice.
If you're complete, wouldn't you get even more complete and learn some grappling and jump to MMA?
Right. No, I of course I've gotten that before, like, and yeah, but I just love striking, and that's just like a personal thing. Of course, maybe one day, I'm definitely not against it. And I've competed in jiu-jitsu growing up. In high school, I've competed in a handful of different martial arts. But I just love striking. I don't know what it is about creating, techniques and shit on the feet. It's just something that I thrive at. It's just what I like to do. I don't have any explanation for it. It's just what I enjoy. I like striking more than grappling, bro.
Do you feel like in striking currently framing is really underappreciated and underutilized in one?
Yeah, I would definitely say, because a lot of people just try to keep their hands up and swing, right? They try to swing as hard as they can, try to get that knockout, that big shot. But everyone's worried about catching that uppercut or catching that weird hook. But I think there is an avenue for a long guard, for hand play. I think there's, if you're a real martial artist and you really practice these things, I think there's a way to control people without just covering up and swinging more aggressive than the opposition. So framing, using the long guard, and using some hand traps and some hand play, finding the elbows, finding the dirty boxing, shit like that. I think there is a way to do that, and it just takes consistency with your practice and doing it in real time. Because yeah, everyone just gets in there, and I'll even say it for myself. You get in there and you're like, fuck, I just need to go for it. All of a sudden, dudes are just swinging as hard as they fucking can. Both my last fights. And it's like, that's why one championship has a 50% knockout rate. You know what I mean? It's crazy exciting. But I also want to show people that you can be the skinny, underrated, regular-looking dude that can use leverage, technique, timing to win these fights.
How do you prep yourself for war, seeing that you're so calm?
Yeah, I mean, just because I've been doing competition since I was a kid, I think you have to get to a point where you have to accept the fact that nothing's gonna feel right. Like, I've accepted the fact that the gloves aren't gonna feel right. They're gonna be a little bit too tight, a little bit too loose. Hand wraps aren't gonna feel exactly right. The warm-up's not gonna go exactly right. And it's just a slow process of accepting those feelings. And guess what else? You're gonna be nervous. You're gonna be scared. You're gonna think about getting knocked out. You're gonna think about your shin breaking. But the thing that works for me is the longer I ponder on those feelings, the longer they stick in there, and they could affect me in my fight. But if I just think about that, like, fuck, you could break your shin in a Muay Thai fight, or like, yeah, I could get knocked out, this dude's pretty good, and I just kind of accept it and kind of just keep going about my things, and it just tends to not stick in there as much. Because the longer I sit there and think about being nervous, and I try to avoid being nervous, if I sit there and try to stop the nerves from coming in, they're gonna come in at the wrong time. I'd rather be nervous in the back room when I'm getting my hands wrapped than when I'm out there about to start the fight. You know what I mean? But that's just what's worked for me, is just to accept all the feelings. Because, I mean, you do something for so long, I probably do 30 fights where I'm like, wow, I hopefully I'm not nervous this fight. Man, I've done 30 fights. I should probably not be nervous this fight. Man, I've done 32 fights. Maybe I shouldn't be nervous. But guess what? It never, ever, ever goes away. At least for me, it's the same fucking feeling every fight. since I was 8 years old. Yeah, and even Mike Tyson said that famous quote, every time he walked into the ring, he was scared. And I think that's just true. There's some psychopaths out there, but I'm not one of them. And yeah, I get scared every fight. So it's just a matter of accepting those feelings. And then I've always tended to do a little bit better. When the more I've been scared of the opponent, the worse I've done, the more frozen I've been in the first round.
Tell me about your clothing brand. What's the plan for this?
Yeah, I mean, it's on hold right now just because I've been focusing on mainly training and getting to the top of one. But yeah, the Chef brand is definitely a thing that's going to stick around. You know, the Chef clothing, there's definitely a logo. There's definitely a signature. You know, there's a lot of different things we can do with the Chef brand. So it's going to be a thing. And I'm all around the country teaching and stuff like that. So I'll be spreading the merch, spreading the brand. And it's like a whole movement, bro. The whole Chef cooking it up type of thing. I'm trying to be the new school Muay Thai guy, the working man that can make it. You know, Midwest America makes it big. Random ass dude.
When did you start with Coach Mika?
I met him, I think it was 2019. I went out there when he first opened his gym, Wave, but he's been supporting me since like 2017. He's been supporting me on Instagram and online. And then we just finally linked up a few years ago. And yeah, he's just someone that, it's weird when you see someone that has such a similar, you know, not even just thought process about Muay Thai, but the way he actually moves looks a lot like myself. So we just naturally had a connection, the way we throw techniques, the way we think about Muay Thai. And yeah, there's a lot to look forward in the future for me and him also, bro. So definitely be ready for that shit. It's just like, we got a lot of shit cooking up.
If you've got your fight IQ and your style and you're long, if you took roids, do you feel like you'd be unstoppable?
Oh my God, I never even thought about that. I don't even like, I like being a skinny dude. Like, I like wearing chill clothes, baggy clothes. I don't even think about that type of shit.
But wouldn't you have insane power?
I mean, I guess so. I don't know. Do you get insane power from doing steroids?
Nah, on a real note, everyone that's come on the show said it's fucking overrated and that it doesn't work.
Yeah, like, do you even get more power or do you just look better?
Okay, so we have a question. We have a question that somebody texted me. He said, if you're getting Luke Lessie on the show, you gotta ask him this question. And it was that he's asking if you treat it like another day, like in gym or sparring, or like view it as a life or death situation. It's just interesting to me the different ways people look and perform at their best based off the way they treat their mind. He says, I appreciate you taking my question, Johnny. So that question's for you about the mindset.
No, I see what he's saying. The thing is, like, I think this is my philosophy, so do whatever you want with it. This is also the environment I grew up in, the gym I grew up in, the things I've learned, the way I've trained, the things that have worked for me. But thinking about it just like any other day, it's not like that's impossible, right? Because it's not it any other day. Like, so yeah, trying to do, like, it's not going to be like that, even if you're thinking about it. So what I'm trying to say is there's so much adrenaline involved with getting in a fight, a Muay Thai fight in front of people, in a ring, lights are on the ring. Maybe it's live streamed, you're in front of your family, in front of your friends. Some dude's trying to hit you as hard as they fucking can. You know how much adrenaline's involved in that? That's something you can't control, the adrenaline. It's there. So why add to that before the fight? So I think the only goal is to just try. And it's not easy. Like, even trying in itself is a task and something hard to do. I need to try to make this feel like a regular day. And that also adds stress. But the more experience you have, the more fights you have, and there's a whole nother conversation I could say about it. Really being able to do that as a beginner is not being attached to the result, because fighting is how you make people feel.
if you perform good and you make your family proud, it's not necessarily being attached to the result, unless the only reason that you're fighting is to try to win. But the essence of fighting is how you make people feel. So if you're not attached to the result, then you can just, you know, focus on how you performed. And then what was the question that you asked me? Or what that dude asked? It was about, like, how do you make it a regular day? So if you're not focused on the result, you can sit there, and while you're getting your hands wrapped, you're not sitting there as anxious. And like I said, this isn't something easy. But if you're just like, I just want to throw good punches and kicks, it makes it a little bit easier. And then as the fight gets closer, you're doing your pad work and you're just hitting the pads and warming up instead of thinking like, holy shit, what's going to go wrong? And then the less you think about what could go wrong, the easier it is to make it a regular fucking day. And then the more you make it a regular day, the less that, like I said, there's already adrenaline. You're going to freak out when you get in the ring. That's pretty much, but don't add, try not to add to that when you're, before you even fucking fight.
Shout out one of the combatants, Zach Alm, for that question. Thank you, bro. That's all we have time for, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, Luke, for coming on the show. Is there any final remarks you want to say to fans at home? Maybe some words of advice or wisdom before we wrap up the podcast today?
Dude, I think I went off on a handful of tangents. I think that's good. I definitely got, you know, shit out there about my mindset. Subscribe to my page, follow my page. Yeah, I reply to a lot of people. I talk about mindset a lot, so I don't necessarily know if it's different. I just give you that real, that raw thought that goes through my mind, and I think most people think the same thing as me, being nervous and trying to deal with it. I think most people are like that, so I don't think it's different. It's just a lot of professional fighters. The regular person thinks professional fighters are different when it's really just not, like, you know? So that's the last thing I'll leave it with.
Follow Luke Lessie on Instagram, link in the description, and follow Anything Combat. We will see you guys next time. Bye-bye.
Bye, guys. Thank you, bro.